Labas. This is Kęstutis Deividas, and thanks again for tuning into Independent Lithuanian Radio here on KTYM 1460 on your AM dial. We want to thank you for tuning in for the last about 25 years, and this is our second to the last show, so stay tuned today and tune in next week. Again, we're at KTYM 1460 on your AM dial, and of course live streaming audio over the internet at ktym.com.
Nebelauki manęs, nebelauki daugiau, mylimoji, jaunimas šilas, oš ir pavasarį, paukščiai dainuos. Mano dienos naktis, mano naktys dienas prarimojo, mano saulė tamsybės nuskendo šešėlios liūdnuos. Tu išpilsi kasas, kada vakarą miglos pakyla ir sėklyčia kvepės, žalios mėtos neperša gėlė, gal gailėsies brangi partizaną.
Well, labas, and good afternoon, and thanks again for tuning into Independent Lithuanian Radio. I guess it's springtime in Vilnius, the capital of Lithuania. Of course, anything can happen at this time of year, but there isn't one night below freezing. And we got a couple of days up in the 50s. That's the 10-day forecast, so I won't waste any more of your time. 10-day forecast. Highs in the high 30s, low 40s, and even 50 degrees, and no lows below freezing, 32 degrees in Vilnius, the capital of Lithuania. You know, since we're going off the air next week, kind of using Kovo Vienuolikta, or March 11th, as sort of our 25-year turning part. And, you know, obviously, I don't want to mislead anybody. It's not like, you know, President Landsbergis declared the independence from the Soviet Union and we were on in a week. No, it took us a couple of months to get it together. But basically, you know, we're talking about 25 years. And if everything works out the way it's planned, we're going to have Albinas Markevičius in here. Albinas helped finance the first year. It was sort of his idea. And then for the last 24 years after that, we've been begging you for money. And, you know, some of you folks are so wonderful. You've come in through for us. As a matter of fact, I want to thank Vincent Stokas and the Vincent Stokas Trust for a very, very generous donation. And he writes us a little note, and again, I'm touched. Thanks for all the good work you have done on the radio program. It's amazing that it's been 25 years already. Here's one last donation to help the cause. I'll miss the program. Signed, Vincent Stokas. So it's always nice to get a pat on the back and know that your work's been appreciated, you know, that your work's been appreciated. And, you know, frankly, you know, I'm in my 60s. I'm not trying to complain about anything, but, you know, I have other issues. I'm getting tired, and it's a good time to leave the air. So stay tuned next week, and we'll reminisce a little bit with Albinas Markevičius about how this whole concept started and where we went from there. You know, am I just getting old? Or, you know, do you need reading glasses to read your prescriptions? I just can't believe how small they print the news now that comes over the internet. But anyway, Russia sends note of protest to Vilnius over arming Ukraine. Now, you would imagine that the Lithuania arming Ukraine would be the least of the Russians' problems. But anyway, I'm looking at a picture now. It says, you know, hands off Ukraine, hands off Ukraine, and there's writing in Russian. Anyway, here's what it says. The Russian embassy in Vilnius announced on Friday that Moscow was sending a note formally protesting Lithuania's alleged actions in supplying Ukraine with weapons and ammunition. But in reaction to the announcement, Lithuanian Foreign Minister Linas Linkevičius has said that Vilnius is not breaching any international law by providing assistance to Ukraine and that it will not justify its actions to Russia. The minister told news services that he had learned about the note only from the media reports and still has not read the official document. Quote, this practice of turning the attention inside out and criticizing us is no longer very surprising. We do not deny it. We have said repeatedly in the past year that we are helping Ukraine in all areas. Last year, Lithuania publicly announced that it would send certain elements of weaponry to Ukraine without specifying what those would be. Lithuania is the only EU member state to so far have been confirmed that they are taking this sort of action. The Russian note of protest stresses that such behavior is against many rules of the EU, and it is a direct breach of Lithuania's legal obligations regarding armed exports. According to Linkevičius, I mean, remember that Lithuania has no jets or tanks or anything, okay? So just keep this in mind. According to Linkevičius, the elements of weaponry which Lithuania is providing to Ukraine will have no material impact on the resolution of the conflict and are more like a solidarity gesture with a country which lacks the necessary capacity to defend itself from aggression. In another move bound to provoke Russia, Lithuania signed a deal this February with the Ukrainian government for the joint training of Ukrainian, Polish, and Lithuanian soldiers in the Polish town of Lublin, or Lublinas. The plans, which will involve the participation of one infantry battalion from each other, are set to come into effect in the spring with military workshops threshing out the logistical and technical side and with the spring parliamentary session in the Senate to ratify the plans. We expect the battalions to have initial operational capabilities by the end of the summer, said Colonel Dalius Polakauskas, who will be managing the training from the Lithuanian side, speaking to the Baltic Times by phone. It's no surprise that we want to see cooperation and security in the region. That's why we hope for full cooperation capacity of the battalions within 12 months and joint military exercises by this autumn.
Ir kai debesys pražysta, mariom ir žvaigždžių, kai melsvi žiedeliai vysta, tu nemerk akių. Ak, širdie jauti tu skausmą, sopulį tikiu. Tėviškė išliejas jausmą, neužmerk akių. Baltą šalį klyks par klyks kelių.
You know, I've never been a victim of identity theft, thank goodness, but you hear on the radio about, you know, hundreds of thousands of people being victims of identity theft. And a lot of times you find out that it's Russian or Chinese hackers, basically Eastern European hackers. But anyway, over 80% of Lithuanians feel the growing risk of electronic crimes. Some 81% of Lithuanian residents feel a growing risk of being targeted by electronic crimes, shows a Eurobarometer survey published this last week. Over the past year, the number of persons fearing cybercrimes actually went down by 6 percentage points. The European Union average stands at 85%. Now, just like in other EU countries, nearly 9 in 10 Lithuanian residents said they avoided publishing personal information online. 7 in 10 fear about the security of their personal data on websites. Another 7 in 10 respondents said they thought their personal information was not protected from government institutions. According to that survey, Lithuanians are more than any other Europeans alarmed by loss of access to online banking systems or bank cards, theft of their personal data, non-delivery of items from online shops. More than other Europeans, Lithuanian respondents also fear hacking of their social media and or email accounts. Furthermore, Lithuanian citizens feel that they have more information about cybercrimes, leading the region by this indicator. 57% of Lithuanian respondents said that they were aware of electronic crimes, as compared with 44% in Latvia, 47% in Estonia, and 45% in our neighbor to the south, Poland. The EU's best informed nations include the United Kingdom, Ireland, and the Nordic or Scandinavian countries. The poll showed that just over a half of Lithuanian residents use the internet on a daily basis, putting Lithuania slightly below the EU average, which is closer to 60%. The survey was carried out in the fall of last year, and some 1,000 adult residents were interviewed in Lithuania. Now, some good news, I guess. The pace of emigration from Lithuania has stabilized. I guess there's no one left to leave. I mean, I don't know what to say. But anyway, the pace of emigration from Lithuania has stabilized last year, while the number of returnees is growing each year, according to a Swedbank expert on Tuesday. The pace of emigration has stabilized. Its scale reached some 38,000 people both last year and the year before. There is also a trend of ever-growing immigration. Some 26,000 people returned last year, 18% more as compared to 2013, according to Odeta Blojiena, the Lithuanian head of the Swedbank Personal Finance Institute, which she said at a news conference. This year, the pace of immigration should remain broadly unchanged from last year or even decrease slightly, she said. In general, we do not expect a change on the country scale and believe that the situation will remain stable. The most popular immigration destinations continue to be the UK, Ireland, and Norway. And as regular listeners of Independent Lithuanian Radio will know, there's been sort of a good news, bad news about this whole situation. You know, people who love Lithuania and are patriotic, you know, they see the young people leaving, getting jobs overseas, and the depopulation of the countryside. On the other hand, if you happen to be an American of Lithuanian descent, such as myself, when you do go out to the countryside, the depopulation makes it charming, and animal life is returning. It's really beautiful. It's like being in one huge national park. Two-thirds of Lithuanians have close relatives in immigration. They have close relatives and friends who have emigrated, according to a survey published on Delphi.lt news portal this past Monday. According to the poll, 64.8% of the respondents said their families contained imagine that, 68.4% said their families contained individuals who were in immigration or had already returned, while merely 35% said none of their family members were looking for a better life abroad. Nearly 15% said their children live abroad, 21.1% said they had siblings in immigration, in addition to nearly 19% who said other relatives, for instance, grandchildren, had emigrated. Main emigration destinations include, of course, again, Great Britain, which about 38% go to, Ireland, 25%, and Norway, 16.5%. Somewhat fewer of the relatives live in the United States, only 7.4%, and Germany, about 7%. The poll for Delphi was carried out by Spinter Surveys, late last year.
Пробіла повші і пак він паріта, атроди той ток спец, кип тух станчий матіту, матіту, тик мірти рекіс, дагла певне сенорі, минута дарги вет, а ці квіпоти ору. Кашкодел, собрец не спалбот, ир жмонес брангесни, ир прасмингес не скалбот. Минутес дар ман трухста, тык венос минутес, а кивиш нарыш сёва, на бути и жути.
You know, I don't know why they make such a big deal out of this. I guess some people feel that, you know, we're more citizens of the world than we are patriots of our own countries or our own heritage. But here we go again. Nationalists plan march on Lithuania's Independence Day. Perhaps they're a little too zealous. But on March 11th, when Lithuania is celebrating its Independence Day, the Lithuanian Nationalist Youth Union and the Lithuanian Conservative Center will hold a march along Vilnius Central Street from the cathedral to the parliament building. That's Gedimino Gatve, in case you don't know. The organizations published a statement saying that Vilnius City Municipality was addressed on the 9th of February requesting permission for a permit to hold the march, but it has not been granted yet. According to Julius Panka, leader of the Lithuanian Nationalist Union and the Lithuanian Nationalist Youth Union, the event will take place regardless of whether a permit is received. Unauthorized nationalist events were held in 2013. In 2014, last year, the city gave them a permit. In the past, the event has attracted considerable controversy due to its apparently extreme nationalist nature. Panka told ELTA news agencies that Ukraine's right sector representatives were invited to join this year's march, as well as right-wing activists from Latvia, Estonia, Belarus, and Great Britain. There's another opinion piece called Putin Will Not Stop on Its Own. On his own, Vladimir Putin will not be stopped by himself. He needs to be stopped. And if he has no intention of stopping, there shouldn't even be a mention of retreating. So far, Putin has been on the offensive, while Ukraine and the West are drawing back. Kremlin analysts have accurately noted a key weakness of democracies, their fear of a European war. Unfortunately, a war is already going on, but democratically elected leaders in the West are still afraid to use that word. They still expect that there is some diplomatic silver bullet to force President Putin to at least halt his aggression. The Minsk agreement was to be the outcome of one such silver bullet. Both the German chancellor and the French president have now entered embarrassing pages into their respective biographies. The Russian leader has simply made fools of them. Mr. Putin won't come to a halt, not only because European leaders are going easy on him, forgetting the bloody mistakes of history, where attempting to appease an aggressor only increased his aggression. Putin won't stop because he simply cannot do so. This can be explained through three key reasons, although other factors do come into play as well. I'll start with the most distant of the three, more of a background factor, albeit an important one. This is the longing for Soviet glory. Not just Putin or his team, but also many ordinary Russians long for the days when the Soviet Union was one of the two major powers in the world and would never be excluded from any major decision-making programs. Russians, nostalgic of this past, feel like their state has a say in global matters again. Unfortunately, this is a misguided sense of importance created by the help of Kremlin-controlled media. The second reason relates to the social structure created during 15 years of Mr. Putin's regime, which one really cannot call capitalism. Russian business people suggest calling it something along the lines of feudalism, as capitalism is based on respect for private property and independent judiciary, set up to impartially resolve disputes between businesses as well as with the state bureaucracy. It is a well-known fact that in modern Russia, it is certainly not unheard of to see businesses raided by law enforcement institutions, as witnessed by tens of thousands of entrepreneurs in Russian jails. No need to even get started on judiciary independence. Ukrainians in the Maidan expressed hopes of becoming a normal European country, but such a state would be a threat to the Kremlin. European values are lethal to the regime, therefore it focuses on ridiculing them, trying to create an illusion of a rotten Europe and a brilliant government. Earlier in the day, the Lithuanian government backed the bill drafted by the Ministry of National Defense on the restoration of conscription, that is, the draft, in defense of Juozas Olekas' words, the conscription of 19 to 26-year-olds should start in August or September. Lithuania plans to conscript around 3,000 men every year. Finally, today, I think we can stick this in. The Lithuanian president says the Baltics really do face a real and serious threat. The Baltic states are facing a real threat and must be prepared to independently withstand at least 3 days in case of a military conflict until NATO allies arrive, according to Lithuanian President Dalia Grybauskaitė. She said Wednesday in Kaunas, Lithuania's second largest city, when asked by foreign journalists about the planned restoration of the draft or conscription in Lithuania. We had conscription before 2008, and we thought that it will never be necessary again. But with a changing geopolitical situation around our borders, we realize that the threats are very real. The threats are real for our own region, all Baltic states, and our neighborhood has become less predictable and more aggressive. I mean Russia, of course. The president also mentioned the recent increase in Russia's military activity in the Kaliningrad region, in the Baltic Sea, and in the air where Russian military planes pose threat to civil aviation. We know the procedures in NATO. The rapid reaction forces can start to work at least from 72 hours, but our nations in the Baltics are quite small. We need to protect ourselves for at least 72 or more hours. The president also called the reintroduction of conscription a clear message that, if attacked, Lithuania would not surrender and would defend itself, which is good to hear. An informational war is being waged against the Baltic states, and they come under cyber attack, she added. Already, we are in the front lines, and the first stage of confrontation is taking place. I mean the informational war, propaganda, cyber attacks. So we are already under attack. Will it be extended to conventional confrontation? Who knows? Nobody knows. But already now, we need to defend ourselves from this aggressive behavior, the Lithuanian president continued. Speaking to Lithuanian journalists, Grybauskaitė underlined that Lithuanians must defend their country. How can you or I or we, Lithuanians, how can we ask, for example, a Danish or a German to come and defend us in case of a threat, and somehow we ourselves don't want to do that? It is our constitutional duty, she continued. The recording of the president's interview was given on Baltic News Services by the Presidential Press Corps. And ladies and gentlemen, we're getting close to the end of the program. We're still a little bit short of money, though we're not doing bad. So if you can help us out, Independent Lithuanian Radio, Independent Lithuanian Radio, 2808 Santa Monica Boulevard, Santa Monica, California, 90404. You've been very generous. You really have. You've been very generous. But, you know, we still need about $500 or $600 to pay off our bill. So please, before you forget, take out your pen, take out your checkbook, and write a check to Independent Lithuanian Radio, 2808 Santa Monica Boulevard, Santa Monica, 904. That's Independent Lithuanian Radio, 2808 Santa Monica Boulevard, 90404. Don't forget, tomorrow is Koldūnų balius, the Lithuanian dumpling ball, all-you-can-eat banquet, Lithuanian dumpling banquet, all-you-could-eat at St. Casimir's Parish Hall, $40 admission. You're going to enjoy it. They're homemade. They're delicious. And we'd like you to support Eurodelimart Lituanica. Eurodelimart Lituanica has a great selection of Lithuanian foods, imported foods, not made here by Lithuanians, but made in Lithuania and imported here to Southern California. And it's at the corner of 2823 Santa Monica Boulevard. And all you really need to do is know that it's 28 blocks from the beach on Santa Monica Boulevard. So how can you forget? It's in a strip mall, plenty of parking, open 7 days a week for your convenience. Eurodelimart Lituanica, 2823 Santa Monica Boulevard, 28 blocks from the beach on Santa Monica Boulevard. Most of you know Roque and Mark and the California Lithuanian Credit Union, same block, opposite end. So there you go, as easy as could be. Next week will be a little bit more nostalgic. Thank you again for tuning in, and we will talk to you later. Iki pasimatymo.